World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I just feel like starting off here this morning by saying I love my wife. I love my wife. I don't have any girlfriends. I don't want to have any girlfriends. I don't think she has any boyfriends, although she's beautiful and could probably get one. But we're yin and yang. We go back and forth. She says left. I say right. I say right. She says left. But we have a very, very healthy relationship. She's the most unbelievable grandmother that you could ever imagine. She's the most unbelievable housewife that you could ever imagine. And she's just a fabulous, fabulous wife. And the Lord really, really blessed me. So I want everybody to know that. I'm happily married. I'm not interested in any affairs or doing anything with any women. Not at all. Okay? Let that be known right up. Right? I don't know why I said that. I just felt like it needed to be said. We're going to do communion here in a minute. Oh, my goodness, Joe. I may have to get up and get me a communion. I don't have one here on my desk. So we'll get ready. I'll get rolling here in a second, Joe. And then you can get ready to do some communion. And again, I want to... I noticed yesterday, I kind of watched yesterday's show. I thought that was a barn burner, by the way. I kind of watched yesterday. Hey, Michelle, maybe you can come down and help me get my communion so I don't have to get up for it. It was really kind of a butt kicker yesterday. I don't know if you know, picked this up yet or not. I love to talk about edgy stuff. You can go to church all you want to and have the Lord tell you, pastor tell you how much Jesus loves you and how much he wants to bless you and raise your hands and do stuff in church. And nothing wrong with all that. Nothing wrong with that. But that ain't for me. I think we're at war. I think we're at war. And I'm going to go in church and act like we're not at war. Are you kidding me? You're going to do that. That's why I'm excited about the fact that we're going to go to Harlem next week. I'm not going to talk about that much this morning because anybody wants to go, you got to let me know. We got a van load. Honey, right down. Oh, well, there's something right there, too, sweetheart. Thank you. Look, what a wife that is, huh? Get your communion. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that today. We got a van load, a big van load of us going. If you want to go, you're welcome to go. You can drive yourself. If you want to drive yourself, love to have you come. But I'm not going to continue to focus on. I'm going to tell you this. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for God's people to show up. And are we going to show up or not? And we'll get into some of that here in a second. Let me catch a breath. Thank God for my wife. She got me a communion. And I appreciate Joe getting up so early in the morning and leading us in communion. Hey, friends, it's a bigger deal than you realize. It is. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. There's something spiritual that happens in communion. It's not just, it's a sacrament, whatever that means. The church called it a sacrament. I don't even know what a sacrament is. But it's Jesus' idea that maybe that we ought to break bread together. And I think it probably means more than communion. By breaking bread, I think it means fellowship, you know, having a meal, all that kind of stuff. But if you notice it, the whole communion story, it's after they ate. So communion wasn't eating. They'd already eaten. It says when the supper was over. I think so. I think it's what it says. When the supper was over, he got bread and he got wine. It was like dessert. They'd already been fed. And then after they'd already been fed, he said, hey, boys, I got something else here. I want to talk about, I'm getting ready to go to the cross and I'm going to die. And I know you don't all understand that yet. And it'll be a while before you do pick up on it. But listen, whenever you get together and you drink my body or eat my body and drink my blood, do it in remembrance of me. And by the way, this power, maybe I ought to do a show on a communion and the power, the meal that heals, as Joe Carrico says, the meal that heals. The power. And I'm sorry, but when I was in Catholic Church, when I was a member of the Catholic Church, I used to go and take communion. We did it every church, every sermon. I'm sorry. Every service you went to in the Catholic Church, you took communion. It ended with communion. And you go into Protestant church, how often do you take communion? I'm just curious out there. You don't have to give me an answer. I want you to think right now, those of you who go to a Protestant church or a non-denominational church or a spirit-filled church or whatever, how often do you take communion? How often do you do it? I don't know, Coach. We do it every once a month. Okay. Well, say how many do you say, you know, like when I went to World Harvest Church, which has 5,000 members, we never took communion. Never. How could you take communion to 5,000 people? Couldn't do it, right? David Arthur said he does it here and he does it here only. So I just want all of you to know that this is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And I understand it's a talk show or whatever we would call this, but shame on us if we want Joe to hurry up and get done. When the Lord, one thing the Lord told us to do, as often as we do this, do us in remembrance of him. And we're not giving him a high five moving on. There's something spiritual that takes place during communion. It, as Joe says, it's a meal that heals. And many are sick among you. Why? I don't know. But this is the opportunity to go to Christ and say, Lord, man, I screwed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me my sins, Father. Cleanse me, man. Cleanse me. I don't know. I'm such a mess. I don't even know. I go to church every Sunday. I'm such a mess. My life's a mess. My kids are left mess. My body's sick. What am I going to do? He said, well, as often as you do this, do it and remember it's me. So that's where we are, Joe. And, you know, some of you want to go eat your breakfast now. Go ahead and do that if you want to. But I believe in the power of the communion service. And I'm honored, Joe, that you'd get up and do it. Let's go, brother.
Good morning, everybody. The reading this morning is 1 Peter 1:18-25.
Hang on, Joe. Hang on. Can I stop you a second?
Certainly.
Because the scripture says that we shouldn't take this unworthily. Meaning, you got to come clean with the Lord. You got to come clean with the Lord. You got to confess, Lord, I ain't been a very good Christian, Lord. Oh, my God, Father, the things that I've done this week that are so against you. I've been mean, I've lusted, I've stolen, I've done so many things, Lord. Just please forgive me. Forgive me. Be a sinner, a representative of you, of your kingdom. And I haven't been a very good one. Cleanse me today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Joe. I hope you all said something like that.
Well, we're not to that part yet.
But this is what it's about, brother. This is what it's about. Go ahead.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Dang, Joe, I got to stop you. Is that a paragraph or is that a paragraph? Huh? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by money, gold, silver, or from your vain conversation that you got from the traditions of your daddy. Go to church and do this. He said, ain't none of that stuff doing you any good at all. Go, that's good, isn't it?
Huh? Yes, the whole bunch.
Yeah, go ahead.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
A producer, if you could.
Can't work your way into heaven, folks. Can't
work your way in. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Wow, last times, really? Last times? Go ahead.
Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Thank you, Lord.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Wow.
See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Wow.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away.
Wow.
But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Uh-huh.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
How about that one, huh? How about that one? Boy, there's wisdom in the scriptures, isn't there? Huh? Golly. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you with this in this unconventional, unique congregation spread across this great country of ours. We're grateful for all you've done for us. We're grateful for all you're doing in our lives now. We're grateful for all that you're revealing in our country and around the world of the corruption and evil that has overtaken our societies and cultures. And we can see now how the truth really can set us free. The truth of salvation, and also, Lord, while we're here, the truth of what truth is we have been living in a lie. And we're starting to see the man behind the curtain.
Mm.
And Lord, we know that we are challenged every day. And often we meet these challenges and get a passing grade. Sometimes, Lord, the challenges are a bit too much. And we show our human side. We show our fallen nature. We don't act like you would act. We react. We aren't being like you. So Lord, when we have these moments in our lives, help us to see it, to repent, to say we're sorry, and to grow from these moments and to walk in on the path you would have us walk and walk in the way you would have us walk, Lord, truly becoming your ambassadors here as you reveal the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We forget that, Lord. On earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
We are meant not just to wait for heaven, but to occupy and to do things here on earth as it's in heaven, Lord. And we forget that. So we ask that you remind us, Lord. And as a coach reminded us this morning, we remember that this communion is a holy act, and it can be the meal that heals. And we know that the woman with the issue of blood knew that if she touched our Lord's robe, she would be healed. And she made it through that crowd. She reached out and she touched him. And he turned, having felt the power released through him, he turned and said to her, "Woman, your faith has made you whole."
Amen. Amen.
So, Lord, please help everyone on this call or on the recording to reach into their faith. And whatever is troubling their bodies, their souls, their what mountains that they are facing and that they can't face alone, and they need you, Lord. Let them put these on the altar and reach out to you in our minds, in our faith, touch your robe and receive your healing, receive your deliverance, receive your blessings. We are so grateful, Lord. And we ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions. Bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us so many years ago. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Joe, I appreciate you getting up and doing that, brother. I'm more than you know. And God bless you, man. I prayed throughout that whole thing. I prayed throughout that whole thing, Joe. Amen. 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 God, if I got. Let me stop here. Let me start. I got some unbelievable stuff to share with you, but I just feel an urge. I'm not an urge from the Lord. Yes, Claudine's huddle. Claudine, talk about that a second, and then I'm going to hang on, Claudine. Paul's hand went up, and then Claudine, I want you to talk about your event coming up. Hey, friends. I don't know if you feel it. I don't know if you feel it. I'm going to get into some of it here in a second. I don't know if you feel it. And I don't know what your theology, your end time theology is. And, but we're going to do something. We cannot passively advance the kingdom. The kingdom does not advance passively. And we're going to have to show up some places, and we're going to have to say some things, and we're going to have to do some things that the world does not like. And to be friendship with the world, the scripture says, is enmity with God. And if the body of Christ, God's bride, although it's not his bride, I get into that. If the body of Christ doesn't stand and speak in his position, if we don't do what the Bible says, the kingdom of God, they take it by force. They take it by force. That has got to become alive. It's got to become real. It's got to become alive again for us to understand that. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, not violent, not in that you're going to knock people's teeth out, but violent means you're going to storm. You're violent. Sometimes you got to go on the offense. Violent men. It comes from the word violate. We may have to violate their territory. We may have to violate their doctrines. We may have to violate their leadership. We got to go take the gates down. Gates don't move. We got to go take the gates down. We got to storm the gates. We got to go to where the gates are. The gates of hell will not prevail. It ain't going to prevail if we just get off our asses and go. Dr. Paul, come on in here.
I just want to give you a quick update from what I heard from the Lindsey Clancy thing. 7 days, hung jury.
Unbelievable.
From what I understand, you got one man fighting the rest. Okay. Right. It's kind of like what we do here. Mm-hmm. In Maine in 1954, a woman did the same thing, killed her 3 children. They acquitted her, right? They didn't acquit her. They just put her in a psych hospital for 5 years. She got out, had 3 more children, and killed them again. Just where I live, Coach. Where I live. I mean, yeah. Where are we, Lord? There is no justice anyway.
No. Mercy follows justice. See, we want to give justice. We want to give mercy before justice, right? We want to give mercy before justice. No, 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 no. Justice comes down. And the righteousness of God is revealed through punishment for violations. I'm sorry.
Sure.
That's what it's about.
You don't get to heaven without paying that.
Somebody paid it, didn't they, Paul? Somebody paid it, that's for sure. But it's a sign of where we are. It's a sign of where we are. She's raised millions and millions and millions and millions of violence in, violence in the womb, violence in the world. How long have we been saying that a baby in the womb is a human being? And nobody gives 10 who gives a damn about babies being murdered in the womb. Why would we care about them being murdered outside the womb? Violence in the womb, violence in the world. So it's truly unbelievable. Truly unbelievable that they cannot admit that this woman, then how about saying guilty by reasons of insanity? But see, they can't say that. They can't say that that she was in, because look, if they say that postpartum depression, whatever it was they call that, if they say, oh my goodness, people with postpartum syndrome, whatever that is, why? They could kill somebody at any time. Can a man have postpartum? Can a man have that? So can we justify demonic? Can we justify demonic influence as a reason to be innocent of murder? The devil made me do it, Cliff Wilson said. Well, the devil did make her do it. Got three dead babies. Can you imagine that? Blindfolding your children and then stabbing them to death. Folks, that's the pit of hell. That's where we are. That's where we are in the culture today. Jack, go ahead quickly. I got someplace else I'm going. Go ahead.
This is going to backfire on the feminazis.
It is, brother. Jack, they'll never be able to hold office. Shouldn't be able to hold a position of authority because their hormones may make him crazy. Right, Jack? That's what they're saying.
That's right. They can't have their button on the nuclear finger if they're hormonal. Nope.
That's right. If your hormones are controlling you and you can't control your emotions, you got no business. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that she did blindfold. I don't know if she did or not. I don't know if they did. I don't know. Let me get off of that. I got a lot of really, really good stuff I want to hit you with. How about this? Thank God. This sounds awful. No, I'll take that back. Gloria Steinem's dead. I was going to do a show a couple days ago on feminism. And maybe I'll do it on Monday. Nothing that's destroyed America more than feminism. And I got a great show on that, but that's not really where I'm heading today. Okay, I'll get to it. I promise you, I'll get to it. All right. Where am I? That one's good. I'm looking at everything. Where do I want to start? Let's start right here. Persecution of the church. Pull that up there. The persecution of the church in America has reached a whole new level. Scroll down, Spence. There you go. Folks, again, I'm sorry. I don't know whether I can read here. I got to look over here. Folks, a lot of people out there never thought things would get this far. It's because the church went silent. It's because guys stood in the pulpit and said, we don't mix religion and politics. Because guys didn't understand that the kingdom of God is advanced through politics. They didn't understand. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus, Almighty God, gave Moses 10 rules. He said, you got to follow these rules or you guys ain't going to be able to live together. I got to follow these rules. It says in Psalm 11:3 that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the foundations are destroyed. They're destroyed. There's no right and wrong. You can murder your baby. You murder your baby and have $12 million in donations come in? What? Come on. This is happening because we've imported large numbers of people that are extremely hostile to Christianity from foreign nations. Because multiple generations of our young people have been raised in an overtly anti-Christian public school system. I'm going to read that again. Then Vinny say, get ready to boom. This has happened because numbers of people are extremely hostile to Christianity from foreign nations because multiple generations of our young people have been raised in overtly anti-Christian public school system paid for by Christians who go to church every Sunday and don't do a damn thing about it, and pastors who stand in the pulpits and say, we don't mix religion and politics. Somebody say amen. Somebody, come on, one of you boom it for me. Boom, Vinny.
Amen.
Meanwhile, they're all brainwashed by anti-Christian propaganda in our music, our television shows, our movies. In such an environment, the fact that Christian persecution is increasing should not come as a surprise to anybody. Are you ready for this one? The legal system is one of the primary tools that is used to persecute the Christian faith in the United States. Folks, the anti-Christian government is out for Christianity. They're out to get Christianity. On Monday, the Maine Supreme Court, hey, Jack, that'd be you, ruled unanimously that a mother can be banned from taking her daughter to church and reading the Bible to her. The Maine Supreme Court ruled. The Maine Supreme Court unanimously upheld a court order on Monday giving a father veto power over a mother's decisions to take their daughters to church or read her the Bible, largely barring the child's religious upbringing. In other words, a husband and a father are divorced. Dad says, I don't want my kids trained in Christianity. Mama's putting them in church. Mama's putting them in Christianity. I don't want that. That's against my rights as a father. And the Supreme Court said, yep, you're right. Yep, you're right, Dad. Mom, you cannot take that child to church. Huh? Oh, yeah. As covered last week by LifeSite News, the dispute is between Emily Bickford and Mather Bradeen. The unmarried, they never got married. So in other words, they're not even a union, are they? That ain't even a legal union. Oh, yeah, it is. Civil union. I forgot. The same thing they say allows men to marry men. Anyway, they have a civil union. This unmarried, separated parents of a 13-year-old girl, the father maintains that their daughter has displayed panic attacks since the mother started taking her to Calvary Chapel, Portland, stemming from fears that the rapture is drawing near and her father and her sister will not make it to heaven. Rapture, folks. He produced a witness whose assessment of Calvary Chapel's sermons claimed that they were potentially psychologically harmful, prompting the court to transfer full control of the trials of child's religious upbringing to the atheistic father. This is absolutely insane. Folks, couples never married, and the mother has custody of the daughter. But now she has been permanently banned from taking her daughter to church because that is what her illegitimate father wants. That's where we are. That's where we are. If you don't think there's an assault on Christianity, then it's insane. Jack, that's up in your area. I'm not going to go on and read the rest of it. That's what's going on. And the courts ruled in the favor of Daddy. Daddy now gets the children. Even though they were never married, Daddy now gets the children because Mommy is a religious nut. Coming to a city near you. Pull up number two real quick. Okay. Hey, this ain't me. But I'm telling you, this is the spirit that the American church needs if Christianity is to succeed in Western civilization. Go ahead and play it.
How did the church become so effeminate? The answer is going to make you angry. Pastors learned that it was easier to get men to act like women than to get women to submit. Here's what I mean. Christian men cause conflict with the world, and women don't like conflict. Pastors know that angry women cause church splits. So instead of correcting the women, they pacified the men. Courage and boldness were criticized, and gentleness and tolerance and love were applauded. And what was the result? A soft, emotional, people-pleasing Christianity that acts more like a women's Bible study than it does the army of the Lord. So how can we restore masculinity in the church? Well, we need to do two things. First, We need Christian women to trust their husbands and their pastors. Second, we need Christian men to love their women well and be willing to tell them no. We are living in a wartime era with a corrupt and evil culture. And if men do not radically push back, the church will be overrun by the very culture it was called to conquer. How did the church become...
Okay. Now, I'm gonna make another connection. Golly, it's 7:30 already. I want to hear from you. It's open. It's whatever, Friday. Huh? Are you ready for this one? I know you're not. I don't care. Huh? Are you ready for it? Pull up number seven. You know, Mark Harrington, just hang on a second. You're looking, look at me, don't look at the screen. What, I don't know if Jared even, Spencer even has it up there yet. Mark Harrington, my friend who's with Created Equal, helped me get started in ministry 20 some years ago. And he said, Coach, first thing you got to do is you got to start a newsletter. Start a newsletter and send it out to people you know and ask them to support you in ministry. And I did that. I've been living off the donation, the faithful donation of folks like you ever since then. This, our ministry runs. I don't have a church. You're the church. Folks send in money, support us. We appreciate it. But you know what Mark told me? I never, ever forgot it. He says, we lose in the cultural war because the church, Christians, give money to their church. And the devil's team gives money to causes. Did you hear what I say? The money that goes into the church, for the most part, the local church, never leaves the local church. Salaries, benefits, smoke machines, carpet, parking lots, pews. You with me? The money goes into the church and dies. Oh, no, wait a minute. They'll take some of it and they'll send it to Africa. They'll send it to Azerbaijan. But as far as the church, the local church, having influence in anything in their community outside their four walls is almost non-existent. Almost non-existent. Okay? Now, you ready for this? Pull that up on the screen. Is it already up on the screen? Holy shizzles! No kings, which, by the way, would be a bunch of leftist atheists. No kings. You guys remember that? When they had that thing, no kings, the movement, yada, yada, yada. How about this one, boys and girls? The financiers who financed no kings. Arabella, $79 million. Warren Buffett, $16 million. Ford Motors, $51 million. Ford Foundation. Rockefellers, $26 million. George Soros, $72 million. The Tides Foundation, $45 million, which is a total of $294,487,000. Oh, no, I didn't even do that right. $294 trillion. Is that right? No. I can't even count that number. How much? It's more than, anyway, what? Look who gave money to him. Now, I don't know if you can make that chart bigger or not. While we sit around and we play patty cake with our local church and don't fund the frontline warriors, No, I'm not begging you for money. You know what? What kind of budget should Coach Dave have as we put armies on the ground in local cities? Well, can't do that because you've been trained to give 10% to your church, and then there isn't anything else, not any left over. I'm not trying to get your money. I want you to understand something. The left puts their money where their mouth is. The God-hating left puts their money where their mouth is. Is that unbelievable? Somebody help me out. Is that 294,487,641? Is that what it is? Anyway.
10 million.
It's a slew of dough, isn't it? It's a slew of dough. No, I'm not begging you for money. No. By the way, God bless. You know who you are. Somebody who sent a check yesterday, a donation online yesterday, that paid for our hotels in New York. I'm not going to, you know who you are. God bless you for doing it. Yeah, God bless you. Somebody sent in yesterday a $2,000 donation to fund our trip. We had other expenses. But somebody believed in it that much, that they, that what we were doing is that important. Amen, huh? Mm-hmm. Other people can't give because they're giving it to the church. Okay, bring up. Okay. How about number 8? You feel good about this one? Huh? Feel good about this? And I'm going to open it up here in a minute. You feel good about this one? Hey, folks, you and I are eating baby. We're eating fetal cells. Go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it.
Tissue cells and the foods that
we're cannibals.
Human fetal tissue cells and the foods that you eat every single day and give to your children. Listen to this.
Irrefutable proof that there is human fetal tissue cells right now in your cabinet if you're consuming Lay's chips, PepsiCo, Gatorade, huge products. Check this out.
Cenomix, okay? Cenomix is a transnational company that creates flavor enhancement for products for transnational companies like Pepsi, Kraft, Nestle, Campbell's. What they've been doing is that they grabbed kidney cells from human aborted fetuses. So they grab these kidney cell lines, and in laboratory they replicate these cells and they put them in all your products. What products are we talking about? Well, we're talking about your Gatorade. Drink some aborted babies. Yes, seriously. We're talking about Lay's chips. Yeah, that's why they taste so good, don't they? Pepsi products, all right? Tropicana juices, Dasani water, Minute Maid. We have to not consume anything from these companies and tell them that we're going to participate in their insane rituals.
Oklahoma Senator's new bill is raising some eyebrows. Senator Ralph Shorty introduced legislation today that would ban the use of aborted human fetuses in food.
Why would they do it? Ritual. Ritual. The reason you're eating meat of any animal is ritual sacrifice. It keeps you in a low frequency. They want you in a low frequency. They want you eating babies. Why would they want that? What happened with cows? Mad cow disease. What happens when they fed cows other dead cows? Nervousness, anxiety, sudden aggression, and isolation from the herd.
I told y'all this before, but comment the word join for the detailed.
Wow. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. How about this one? Oh, I got a lot of good information for you today. How about number 6? Gloria Steinem died. I said that. Gloria Steinem. Did you know this? Don't play it. You don't play. Put it in the chat. Did you know Gloria Steinem worked for the CIA? Gloria Steinem, the mother of the feminist movement, which, by the way, I was going to do a show on that a couple days ago. I will. She was hired by the CIA. The CIA funded feminism and the destruction of the American family. The CIA did. She was a CIA. You can watch it if you want to. You can watch it. It's her. It's her telling you. Yeah, yeah, they did this and this is how we did it. Put it in a chat. I ain't going to play it. One more thing. I got some more good stuff. Huh? Pull up number 9. Pull up number 9. Why did Jesus choose this rock? I like this guy. The Howerton, is that his name? Why did Jesus choose this rock, upon this rock?
We're asking this question. Why does Jesus walk all the way out into the middle of nowhere where there's nothing else around there, finds this one rock, points at the rock, and goes, the gates of Hades will never prevail against my kingdom? This is the thing. I've been waiting like 3 or 4 years to get into a sermon, and I can never find a time until now. So Caesarea Philippi, that's where Jesus pulls the disciples out into the daggum middle of nowhere. There's nothing out there. And he goes, I will build my church, and the gates of, and this is very interesting. It does not say the gates of hell. What does it say? The gates of
Hades.
Yeah. Okay, now bookmark that. There's a reason for that that most people, they'd never see this. So Jesus apparently points to some rock. I wonder what rock. And then he goes, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, when you go out to Caesarea Philippi at the bottom of Mount Hermon, there is one spot and one spot only that people are like, this is probably where it was because this rock formation is there. It's the only spot around there where there's some prominent rock location. Now, dude, here's what's nuts. So this is the bottom of Mount Hermon. Now, you got to remember, it's first century. This is Greco-Roman Empire with all the Greek and Roman gods. Now, dude, the tradition at that time when Jesus is alive, this spot right there That cave at the bottom of Mount Hermon was the dwelling place in their minds of the Greek-Roman god Pan, which, oh, by the way, was associated with fear, which, oh, by the way, is where we get the English word panic. To this day, where we get the English word panic is from their belief that anytime you saw the god Pan, that you would just be consumed by an irrational, controlling spirit of fear. And bro, Jesus walks all the way out to that daggum rock, points at that rock. People are terrified of Pan. They're being controlled by panic. That's what's going on in their head. And Jesus points at that rock. On that rock, I'm going to build my church. Essentially, I'm going to dunk on that God. On this rock, I will build my kingdom. And what he was saying is the God of Pan, the God of panic, shall not prevail. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is here.
Wow, you will
no longer be controlled by a spirit of fear, but by a spirit of power and of love and of a right mind. Because when you know the Prince of Peace, you can have peace. And again,
wow, huh? Wow. Wow. On this rock, I'm going to build a church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Why?
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Because Jesus casts out all fear. Fear is not of the Lord. Now, there's a righteous fear. There's a fear that protects you. And we all know that. But not Pan, the spirit goddess, panic. Let me ask you something. Why often is your first response fear? And people say, Coach Dave, probably shouldn't go to New York. It's dangerous. Hold your ears. No shit. My wife will be mad at me for saying, I'm speaking to men who are men and get it. Don't get offended by words. Of course it's dangerous. Shouldn't dangerous men go do dangerous tactics? Shouldn't the gospel of the kingdom be dangerous to the wicked? Of course it should be. What did it say? If I perish, I perish. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go confront the forces of darkness. Well, a lot of guys can't go because they're controlled by Mr. Panic. Yep, that's right. The people all around say, oh, honey, you can't go. Oh, you can't go. You might, something might happen to you out there. You go with that coach and you might, oh my God, you blah, 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 blah. I'm gone. Jeff Nell, come on in. I'll shut up. I got 18 minutes. I got some more stuff too. Daggone. Go ahead, Jeff. Aborted babies and food. Aborted babies and food were cannibals. Give me a Pepsi and some Lay's potato chips, please. Go ahead.
I was approached by walking my dog Lucy at the large park. And they started walking away. But the husband said, conservative neighborhood. And I basically said, don't let the world teach you. Keep in the word of God. And it was something else. It was the only time I wired up. I had your word. And people comment on that right there.
So Jeff, hey, Jeff, hey, folks, fear is a natural reaction. It's a natural reaction. It's a survival instinct. Remember that old song, Fools Rush In Where Angels Fear to Tread? Huh? So fear is a protection, but it can also be a prison. I'm telling you, I'm speaking, I don't want to say prophetically because that sounds like I'm holier than you are. I'm speaking to some of you out there right now. You are totally, completely controlled by Mr. Pan. Mr. Pan. By the way, a spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So let me ask you something. Why do you obey the spirit of fear rather than a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind? Two spirits that are at work in you. Huh? the fleshly, physical, dead man, than the Holy Spirit of God. Why do we worry so much about fear? I could die tomorrow. I could be sitting out there in my drinking a lemonade with a little umbrella in it, stuck in it, sit there nursing on my lemonade in the shade with a fan around me and drop over dead. You have no control over your life. Huh? Life's but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Does it matter to you? Does the advancement of the kingdom of God matter to you? So I'm not going to go because it's dangerous. I'm not going to go to that school board meeting and speak up because somebody will hate me. I mean, that's the spirit of fear. You got a spirit of fear. And you know how you defeat a spirit of fear? You do it. You walk right into that SOB and say, hey, here I am. Huh? What did Martin Luther say when he went and pounded the theses? He says, here I am. I can do no more. Here I am. Bang, 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 bang. Here I am. I can do no more. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, fear is a God-given emotion. Being afraid is a choice.
Amen. Say it again. That's good. Nothing wrong fear with nothing wrong no. with being afraid. Something wrong with staying afraid.
Yes. Fear protects you. Fear alerts you. It's a God-given emotion, and it's a protection.
That's right.
And then you have to decide what you're going to do with it. That's all.
So Jack, if I'm walking down the road, and if saying there's bears out here in Ohio now, I don't know if you guys ever heard that or not. Black bears run. So I'm walking down the road, and I got two of my granddaughters in my hand, and we're just going for a walk, and a black bear comes out of the woods, out here in the middle of nowhere. Do I leave my granddaughters and run because I'm faster? What kind of man would do that? Hey, folks, they're after your kids. And you want to take the kids, take them home, and let somebody else fight the bear. Randy. Hey, Randy, this is good.
Amen.
You may not like it. And it may not make you feel good, but this is the truth. Coward and Christianity should never go together. Go ahead, Randy.
Amen, Coach. Thank you. That's good. Coach, I put a link in the chat, and it's called The Day That the Gods Died. The Old Gods Died. It's excellent. You may have seen it, but the first few minutes of that, Coach, it'll blow your mind on what happened in the day of Jesus with Pan and those gods. Yeah, that's it, Coach.
Okay, let's try it. The day the old gods died. How much should we watch, Randy? It's pretty long.
You'll know it. It's about 3 or 4 minutes, Coach, but man, okay. It's powerful. Okay.
Go for it, man. Huh?
The first century, somewhere near Turkey, running a grain ship from Egypt toward Italy, you might have heard your name called across the water. Not a shout from another vessel, a voice from the empty shore of the island of Paxi, calling for the Egyptian pilot by name, Thamus. 3 times the call went out, and when he finally answered, the voice gave him a command. When you reach Pelotes, announce that the great god Pan is dead. He didn't want to do it. He decided that if the wind picked up, he'd sail past and say nothing. But the wind did not pick up. The sea stayed flat as glass. So Thamus stood at the stern, turned his face toward the land, and called out the words exactly as he had heard them, "The great god Pan is dead." And before he even finished, the shore erupted. Not one voice, but many. A great sound of groaning and lamentation and astonishment rising from a coastline where no crowd should have been. This isn't just a legend that somebody scrawled down centuries later. No, we have it from Plutarch, a Greek historian, a philosopher, and a serving priest of Apollo, who says that the story reached Rome and that the emperor Tiberius himself summoned Themis to the palace to ask what it meant. That's Tiberius, the emperor who was on the throne at the exact stretch of years when a certain Galilean preacher was nailed to a Roman cross outside of Jerusalem. Now, Pan is the only god of the Greek world whose death is recorded as an event, with a date. It's actually recorded in a historical source, and it landed in the reign of the one emperor whose name every Christian already knows from the trial narratives. Now, hold that thought for a moment. Travel east, because in Jerusalem, in roughly the same window, the priests were watching a piece of wool. See, every year, on the Day of Atonement, a strip of crimson-dyed wool was tied to the goat that carried the sins of the nation out into the wilderness. This was the scapegoat of Leviticus. And there was a tradition, an old and cherished one, that when Israel's sins were forgiven, the scarlet wool would turn white. It was tied straight to the promise in Isaiah, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Year after year, the people watched for it, and when it whitened, they would rejoice. The Talmud, Israel's own record, not a Christian one, says that during the last 40 years before the temple was destroyed, it stopped. The wool stayed red. And it wasn't the only thing that failed. The same passage lists four signs that broke altogether. The sacred lot for the Lord stopped falling in the high priest's right hand. The westernmost lamp of the menorah would no longer stay lit, and the great temple doors began swinging open on their own in the middle of the night, and the scarlet thread never turned white ever again. The temple fell in the year 70. Count back the 40 years the rabbis give you. You land around the year 8030. The precise window when, a few miles from the temple, the Christians say the final atonement was already made, and the shadow play of goats and wool was quietly and permanently switched off. Now go north and west, to Greece, to the most famous voice in the ancient world. For 1,000 years, kings and generals and whole cities had made the pilgrimage to Delphi to consult the oracle, the priestess of Apollo, the Pythia, seated over her chasm, speaking for the god himself. No war was launched, no colony founded, without her sanction. And in the first century, she began to fall silent. We don't have to guess at this or construct it from hostile sources. No, we have it from the same Plutarch, the priest of Apollo, who wrote an entire treatise trying to explain it, on the obsolescence of oracles. In his own lifetime, AD 46 to AD 120, Plutarch admits the great oracles of the world had gone silent. Shrines that had spoken for centuries stood abandoned and falling into ruin, and the philosophers gathered at Delphi could only sit and debate why the power had drained out of the world.
Put it in the chat. So finish it in the chat. Finish it in the chat. See, we forget history, folks. We forget history. There's an old saying out there that history repeats itself, right? Huh? History repeats itself. Pan, George said, Pan is dead. Pan, the god of Pan, is dead. It's time for Christian men. The whole creation groaneth waiting for Christian men. Christian men to stand up, conquer fear, face it, understand what's going on. Push back against the forces of darkness. The heck? See, I get myself in trouble because the old football coach in me, I learned never to watch the scoreboard. People lose games because they're watching the scoreboard, just hoping the clock will run out while they're ahead. Run out the clock. I hate to tell you this, but much Christian America, church-wise, just running out the clock.
Coach, they're serving dead gods. We're serving the living God. They're serving the dead God. Why are we not winning?
Why are we not winning? Because why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And fear, folks, we stand in our churches. We talk about all-powerful God. He's all-powerful. God, the whole world is in his hands. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And then they won't even go confront the city council or the mayor or the school board. What a joke. What a joke modern Sissified Christianity has become. God's not given us that spirit of fear, power, love, sound mind. I'm about out of time. Jeff Klein, come on in. Who else I'm working for? And Jeff now. Go ahead, Jeff Klein.
Coach, the black preacher in Dearborn, Michigan stood up at city council. We need to play that sometime. That is just good.
I think I did, didn't I? Didn't I play that?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
I thought I did. We'll get it up if not. Jeff now.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. Ephesians 4. It says, children, be children no more. It comes to it, be an adult. Look what's going on. Don't be full of fear. Become reality.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with being afraid. Something wrong with staying afraid. Staying afraid. That video we showed yesterday. How many guys died storming Omaha Beach? How many died? Huh? Only to let Muslims come in and take over our cities? Really? Coach Dave, don't go to New York. It's dangerous. Huh? Who better than me? Who better than us? Oh, they'll take care of it. The government will take care of it, Coach Dave. I tell you, Coach Dave, quit worrying about that. Well, Jesus is going to take us out of here. We're sick. We're freaking sick. I don't know what else to say. Dave Allison, come on in, or Sherry. Dave and Sherry coming all the way down here to go to D.C. Coming all the way from up there in Michigan.
New York, folks, New York.
Wherever the heck I'm going.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, the church is like the 10 talents, right? God gave us a great gift of salvation. What do? We buried it, right? We hid it.
We did.
Right. We did. So, and Coach, you did a week or so ago, you did play Pastor Sowall's speech there. You did play it.
But I thought I did.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And anyways, blessing. Hey, you did say you're going to let Claudine say something, so I didn't hear anything from Claudine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Claudine, what's going on, man? We want to come out there. Come on, Claudine. Are you out there? I know you're always out there. I just get rolling here, and I forget all about that. I'm coming, Claudine. Michelle and I are coming. What's going on out there? Hey, Jack, get those people up in New Hampshire. We're coming. Let's go. Go ahead, Claudine.
Yeah, no, it's October 23rd to the 25th. And, you know, it's our place. So it's we're going to have it one way or the other, Coach. So I have
everybody. We're going to be there. Michelle and I will be there. Others will come. So, yeah. Hey, Jack, load up a crew. Whatever. Come on. Get in your car and come and have some. Yep.
I'm going to be staying with Hal Shirtliff, and I'm going to drag his old butt up there too.
There you go. I'll be there. Michelle will be there.
Perfect. Anything
we can do to help you, Claudine?
Yeah. I mean, just go to the libertyactionnetwork.net and you can get more information there.
It's up on the screen right now. It's up on the screen right now. Okay. Plan a vacation. Plan a vacation and come and join us.
Yep. You got my email, or you can call me, text me, whatever it takes, and let's just get you here.
Oh, man. Hey, folks, don't you want to go down standing up? Huh? Do you really want to represent the Lord by huddling in the closet, waiting for the rapture? Is that really what you want to do? Really what you want to do? By the way, somebody help me out here. Bible says to be absent from the body. Can somebody finish that for me? Absent from the body.
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. So you're not going to go push back because you might die. Well, you'd be absent from the body, wouldn't you? So you wouldn't have to get raptured. You wouldn't have to get raptured to be with him. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So evidently there's something in the world that isn't in you, and there's something in you that isn't in the world. And the thing that is in you is greater than that thing that is in the world. And he said, go into all the world and teach them that great thing in you and expand the kingdom. Come on, man. Come on. It ain't about you and your personal salvation. It's about being a soldier and advancing the kingdom. And it's 8 o'clock and I got to go. God bless you. Thanks for watching.